This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I don't know what else to say other than Obamacare is the law of the land. It's going to remain the law of the land until it's replaced.
I've been saying for the last year and a half that the best thing we can do politically speaking is let Obamacare explode. It is exploding right now.
President Donald Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan are now in the spin room after their failure to repeal and replace Obamacare. So what happens now? What will Governor Rick Scott do?
They don't want to be dictated by the federal government. Well, why should the state think that they should dictate to local government?
Florida's mayors say it's time for state lawmakers to mind their own business.
Because they don't know what happens when somebody calls me at 9:30 on a Saturday night with a problem.
And Florida's education community remembers one of their dedicated champions, Dr. Brian Dassler.
He touched so many lives. I think he touched people here in Tallahassee, certainly here in this building, all throughout the state, and even in the nation.
That's Florida Education Commissioner Pam Stewart back on the program for a special tribute to our dear friend. All that and more coming up on episode 99 of The Rotunda.
Thank you very much. We were very close. It was a very, very tight margin. We had no Democrat support. We had no votes from the Democrats. They weren't going to give us a single vote, so it's a very difficult thing to do. I've been saying for the last year and a half that the best thing we can do politically speaking is let Obamacare explode. It is exploding right now.
So President Donald Trump is now trying to say what he's been saying all along is not quite what you think he meant when he was saying it. We don't even have to go that far back into the archives to see even that's not true. Repeal and replace was his thing, and it was supposed to happen expeditiously.
You're going to end up with great health care for a fraction of the price, and that's going to take place immediately after we go in, okay? Immediately. Fast. Quick.
So what happened? For one, it appears that President Trump didn't quite understand the bill, and key Republicans didn't get to see enough of a repeal. Republican Congressman Ted Yoho of Florida is a member of the Freedom Caucus, which helped put a stop to the bill.
Current bill that we have in front of us, it doesn't go far enough of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Florida's congressional delegation is comprised of 27 members, 16 Republicans, and 11 Democrats. All 11 of those Democrats were going to vote against the bill, no surprise there. And there was only 3 or 4 firm yes votes expected from Republicans. So the bill was in serious trouble.
We came really close today, but we came up short. I spoke to the president just a little while ago, and I told him that the best thing I think to do is to pull this bill, and he agreed with that decision.
Anyway, the massive failure has triggered the blame game. Trump operatives are beginning to smear House Speaker Paul Ryan. By way of a tweet, Trump asked his followers to tune in to Fox News to hear this.
Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House. The reason? He failed to deliver the votes on his health care bill.
So what happens next? Healthcare is complicated, but Trump is now calling for what the Democrats tried to do in the first place, create a bipartisan plan, which resulted in Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
What would be really good with no Democrat support if the Democrats, when it explodes, which it will soon, if they got together with us and got a real health care bill, I'd be totally open to it, and I think that's going to happen.
So the next best option is to come up with a plan to fix the Affordable Care Act. How do you get insurance companies who were eager to jump ship back to the table to work to fix a plan they had agreed to deliver in the first place? That's the job ahead, and it's to be seen how, if there's an appetite to fix and support what's already on the table, which is the Affordable Care Act. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com and follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. The power struggle is everywhere in politics. You're either in control or being controlled by something or someone. And it seems like each level of government steps out of bounds and tries to dictate to the other. You hear it all the time. The federal government should stay out of the state's business. Well, some would say the state government should stay out of local business. And others might even say local government should stay out of our backyards. Or is that the homeowners association? You get my point.
The legislature does not want to be dictated to by a higher level of government, but yet for some reason they don't think that we are deserving of that same respect, that we do know what's happening in our own backyards.
That is Carol McCormick.
I'm the mayor of Palm Shores, which is in Brevard County. I'm president this year of the Florida League of Mayors.
The League made a special trip to Tallahassee to sort of remind state lawmakers that they exist.
We're here basically because there is a lot of really bad legislation to take away home rule.
Prior to the 1968 revision of the Florida Constitution, local governments had only those powers expressly granted them by law. They had to ask lawmakers to draft bills to address local problems. In 1968, the Florida Constitution was amended to authorize local home rule powers for both cities and charter counties. But McCormick says amnesia seems to have set in.
I think the problem is a lot of these legislators have never worked in local government, and they don't really understand that we have to take action when it happens. We can't wait to come up here once a year, as this bill would have us do. Now, you know, you can see the same way with, you know, we're not really sure what's going to happen with the medical
marijuana.
Yeah, thank you. Medical marijuana, yeah. But we have to be proactive. And like I said, when situations come up, we can't say, well, the legislature starts in March, so we're going to wait and go up there and solve our problem. So there seems to be a continuing attack on home rule, the same way with there's a bill regarding community redevelopment. And if you read the bill, it says, now you're really going to find this hard to believe, but say, for instance, I just had a new subdivision built in my town. It asked me how many workers were employed on that job. Well, I don't know how many people were employed to build 52 new homes. Where are they now? Are they still employed? These are kind of the kind of things that beg to challenge your mind on who is thinking up this kind of legislation.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, talking with Florida League of Mayors President Carol McCormick about her fight to protect home rule.
There just seems to be a complete lack of understanding about what happens on a local level. And they forget that our constituents are also their constituents. But we can't come to Tallahassee every time we have a local issue to deal with. We've got to, our business community and our residents expect us to solve whatever the problem is and solve it then.
Florida is home to around 412 municipal governments, known as cities. So what do you think is causing this effort to Bigfoot these local governments?
Even when we've tried to give them input, it's kind of like, for some reason, they don't seem to think that we know what we're doing on a local level, but the government closest to the people is the best government. They don't want to be dictated by the federal government. Well, why should the state think that they should dictate to local government? Because they don't know what happens when somebody calls me at 9:30 on a Saturday night with a problem. They're not going to call them in Tallahassee. We have to be, and it seems to be a trend more this year than I have seen in previous years. I'm in my 15th year as mayor. I'm a strong mayor form of government. So I'm the mayor, I'm the manager, I'm it.
Yeah.
So as that, like I said, when there's a problem, I have to be able to react and be proactive, not reactive. Mm-hmm. And I think we have some legislators that maybe have never been around local government, never sat on a county commission or a city council. So they just don't understand. The home rule authority was granted to us by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So we take that very seriously, and we take our, you know, our positions very seriously. Yeah. And I think what we've tried to do this session, because of having the press conference, we're trying to let state government know that the mayors are here and we're concerned about the way things are leaning, and they need to listen to not only us, but the people back home.
That's Florida League of Mayors President Carol McCormick. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. This program is supported by listeners like you, and we welcome your generous sponsorship. All you have to do is visit rotundapodcast.com and click the donate button. On Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, Florida's education system lost a champion. Dr. Brian Dassler, who served as Deputy Chancellor of Educator Quality, was found dead in his home. The Tallahassee Police Department said he died of natural causes. He was 38 years old. Since learning of this terrible news, I've been at a loss for words because Brian was also a dear friend. I can't seem to find the right words to use to honor his life. I've revised this intro numerous times, so I've decided the best way to honor his life is to listen. Listen to his words and listen to all the other people he's inspired, and share it for all of us to experience, even if we're just getting a fraction of his encouraging and positive outlook.
He touched so many lives. I think he touched people here in Tallahassee, certainly here in this building, all throughout the state, and even in the nation.
That's Brian's friend and colleague, Florida Education Commissioner Pam Stewart.
Commissioner Stewart is a true Floridian and a true Florida educator. She started her career teaching kindergarten in Hillsborough County. She has had every, she doesn't like when I say this because she says it makes her sound very old. She says, which she's not.
And this is a taste of Brian Dassler doing what he does best, and that's shining a spotlight on those around him. He's always good at an introduction.
She came to the department in the job that I'm in now, and then left to be a deputy superintendent for several years, came back as chancellor of K-12 schools, and is now our commissioner of education.
Commissioner Pam Stewart, good to be with you again. I wanted to come here to talk about a star that was in your ranks, and I had the pleasure of knowing, and I know you had the pleasure of knowing very well, and that is Dr. Brian Dassler. And unfortunately, we all got the news that he had suddenly passed. So what I wanted to do was take a moment to remember his life.
You didn't have to spend any time with him to be better and to instantly feel as though there was a connection, because he always made a connection with people. It was one of the things that we would joke about. He would tell me, or he would text me and say, I had a Pam moment. Or I would tell him I had a Brian moment, and that was that we'd run into a former student or a teacher we had worked with, or, and we'd be in just, you know, he'd be in New York and run into someone that there was a connection with. And he always made those connections. Certainly the outpouring that has happened in the last 24 hours is a testimony to how much he affected people. But what was he working on, Tramell? He was, and people have said, he was passionate about education and passionate about kids. And for him, that started while he was still a student and, serving on the Broward County School Board. as a student, but it continued on as a teacher and as a principal and certainly in his role here. And he was not just that person that said he was about kids. He was truly about how he could make things better for students. And so in his role, he thought about it in every possible way, but he was dedicated to that from the aspect of making it better for every student by making every teacher better. Mm-hmm. And what could he do to make every teacher better?
I do believe that what I learned as a high school senior and then as a college student and member of the state PTA board and then as an early career teacher in Broward County, what I learned from PTA and in PTA has continued to serve me incredibly well in my career and in my life.
He not only did that, he wanted to make everybody around him better. And he would say, would you like feedback on that? And, you know, he would check before he provide the feedback. Although I did tease him, who's going to tell you no, even if they're hesitant about that. But he wanted to make a growth mindset occur for everyone, but most certainly within the teacher ranks.
We've subscribed to a myth in our country and in our society about fixed abilities. And the place that mindset is most apparent is in our belief about intelligence. See, we think that intelligence doesn't change. We think that IQ is immutable. We think that if we take the IQ test at one age, that whenever we take it again, it'll be about the same. And in fact, that is wrong.
So he set about making sure that he could work with people so that they could understand that people have abilities beyond maybe what they think they have. And he couldn't abide someone saying, I'm not good at whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And if we would forget that and say that, he would say, you're not good at that yet. Mm-hmm. And that was often something that he would say.
Researchers have studied the effect of a growth mindset on achievement in many, many contexts. They assigned eighth graders a mentor. The control group of eighth graders had a mentor who gave them a message about the danger of drugs. And the treatment group of eighth graders heard a message from their mentor about the malleable nature of intelligence, that our brain, like any other muscle, can grow with effort, and that struggle is normal and something all of us can overcome. At the end of the year, on the standardized statewide assessment for the entire state of Texas, the students who heard a message about growth mindset, that our ability can develop, performed better on that assessment than children who heard the message about the danger of drugs.
So he set about really just starting with Twitter chats about growth mindset. And there's Carol Dweck has written a book called Growth Mindset. And we did some work at Teacher of the Year a couple of years in a row. And that's really spread. And he's got hashtag Florida growth mindset. And now there's the ability for individuals to get a micro-credential on growth mindset. And this has been just a great way that teachers, through his work, individually and collectively, to help teachers see that I maybe was looking at this student the wrong way. They really can learn what I maybe previously thought they would not be able to.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Florida Education Commissioner Pam Stewart about the life of Dr. Brian Dassler following his sudden death.
And he believed strongly in leadership. There had been a program here that was called the Commissioner's Leadership Academy, and Brian really redesigned that to train administrators how to go into classrooms and really know whether or not the teacher was teaching the standards to the highest rigor possible, and teaching them well. Mm-hmm. And then how to coach teachers who were not.
Someone who's a really extraordinary teacher often, like I did, act and think like an individual. Like, results are mine and mine alone. The principal has a different responsibility, and the principal has to overcome an obstacle imposed by his or her former success. And that obstacle is, we have to move instruction in a classroom that is not our own when we're an instructional leader. That is not an individual or personal act, it's an interpersonal one. And so I think principals have to learn how to do that, and I think that that can be hard, particularly when one has had extraordinary success in an individual context, one's own classroom, for example.
He believed that growing that over time was eventually going to reach every administrator in the state of Florida to help every teacher in Florida become better. And I believe without a doubt that that was one of his biggest accomplishments and one of the things he was most proud of, and was having great success. And we'll continue that on and actually hopefully rename it to the Brian Dassler Leadership Academy.
Congratulations to you, Dr. Brian Dassler, as all of your hard work will continue to carry on through to generations beyond those you've already inspired. Have you ever been given really good advice, but for whatever reason you've been too stubborn to follow? I'm now thinking through all of our conversations and realizing how much of a mentor Brian has been. He was encouraging me to participate in an exemplary program called Leadership Florida through its young professionals program, Connect Florida. But at the time, the deadline came and went. Well, this time, I will finally follow through and apply to the program, a program that he's helped to shape in so many ways. Again, Pam Stewart.
He had participated in Leadership Florida and started an education section of that. So we have people from all sectors of education who serve on that Leadership Florida group. That's been amazing work that has helped people to grow and be better at whatever they aspect of education they currently do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people that have come to me in the last 24 hours and have said to me, I'm struggling with this, and I was going to ask Brian, and what do you think? And that's the kind of connection that he made. And what I mean about his working hard to make everyone better.
One of the things, I don't know if this translates in the office, I'm sure it did, how much he worked towards his friendships and the people he connected with. Like, if I would introduce him to someone, it was as if he would study the person, make note of it for the next encounter. And oftentimes when we do meet that person, again, he would remember the person more than I did.
He absolutely would do that. And, you know, we had a strong connection, and I've known him since 2004. Certainly it deepened since he came here to work at the department, but he would remind me of things that I maybe had said to him in passing about a friend or a family member or something, and he would say, wasn't that who, whatever it might have been, because he did file those things away. I always say it's because he has time to study those things because he didn't have a TV to distract him and take him away to mundane things. And, yeah. And he was truly always a student. You know, not only
getting a bachelor's and then a master's and then a doctorate, but also that he was always reading something and always sharing with me what he was reading and always wanting to improve and become better. Yeah. And for him, it really was about relationships and making connections, too. I think that was really, wasn't just that he did that on a surface way so that the next time he saw that person, he would remember their name, but truly about making a connection with a person.
And here's to the Triple Gator alumnus, Brian Dassler. A memorial service will be held on Friday, March 31st at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Tallahassee, beginning at 3 p.m. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Florida League of Mayors President Carol McCormick and Florida Education Commissioner Pam Stewart. Be sure to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and on Instagram. Special shout out to our dedicated intern, John Hines. And again, remember to join us next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.